At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Welcome to Episode 9 of our Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the Sharks Audio Network. Drew Remenda in sunny Saskatoon. I understand that's a rarity this time of year.
It has been. The April showers did not bring out the Mayflowers, Danny. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, that's starting to get going. That's the way it normally is, though. So you're used to it, and we're used to it here. Sunny skies in California. Beautiful. Very happy about the conference finals because we've had a lot of sunny sky hockey. Unbelievable hockey in the first games of the conference final.
It really has, right? I mean, then you look at where the goals are being scored from. You look at the type of play we're seeing. When we look at the, you know, compared to Sharks hockey, when we're talking details on the broadcast, that's what we're looking at. Four checks, sealing the boards, getting the puck out quickly, killing plays quickly, getting to the front of the net, pucks to the net. Great goaltending on both series so far. That's what we're looking at. That's where we want to get to.
You know, we've had great goaltending in both series from four goaltenders, and we were wondering how Stuart Skinner was going to be, but game one, he really came through. That's a big thing. We'll get to that a little bit later, but I want to start off with the New York Rangers series against the Florida Panthers. What a tight game. Rangers didn't have a lot of opportunities on net, at least in terms of any quality whatsoever, and the only goal that went in at the very beginning that made the most difference was scored by Matthew Tkachuk.
A feed from Trocheck near side Panarin. In he goes, waits for the trailer. Ekblad in against Panarin, knocked the puck away. Panarin held on to it a little too long. In Verhaeghe, he'll play one across Gus Forsling. Over the Rangers line. Dropped it off, Tkachuk, a shot, he scores! Matthew Tkachuk from the top of the left circle. And the Panthers are on the board with 3:34 to go here in the opening frame.
And the opening of a very important theme in the conference finals, that is the road team coming up with victories. Paul Maurice was talking about Matthew Tkachuk, and he discussed his value in playoff competition.
Matthew has a fantastic sense of what's needed because he can read the game and read the play. And in the game that you're talking about, Kulikov, I think, was suspended for that, and both Forsling and we were down three defenseman. So what we needed was a real smart game from our offensive guys, right? Those are the guys that you need to recognize that we're a little short staff that night. That's what he does, right? Big games. He seems, and this is his whole career, not just even with Florida, he seems to be able to elevate to understand what's needed.
That's what the Tkachuk family does, doesn't it?
They really do, but that game by Matthew was exactly as Paul described. He was in on the forecheck. He was physical. He was to the front of the net. He was terrific on back checks, really good in his own zone. He was the best player on the ice against the Rangers game one. He was phenomenal.
Rangers had some chances, although they didn't have nearly as many chances as they would like. And here's one example with Braden Schneider getting an opportunity with the score 1-0.
Kulikov leaves it back for Listeron, and his shot is knocked down by Lindgren. Rangers coming. Here comes Braden Schneider on a partial breakaway. Now a full breakaway off the post.
Off the post indeed, and then Mika Zibanejad had an opportunity, but Sergei Bobrovsky was there.
9 seconds in the period as Fox works in. Panarin right point, holds, time winding down, right circle, Fox back out front, a shot, see Bobrovsky on Zibanejad, ripped back out front, and Bobrovsky able to cut that off as well. And the clock says zero, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead through two, just like they did through one.
Gigantic save at the end of the period by Bobrovsky there.
These are big saves that goaltenders have to make right at the end of period. And how many times during this past Shark season did we see goals go in the other way near the end of periods? This is something that the goaltenders are coming through in the playoffs with.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that's, I think it's really unique that we have been seeing lately is goals being scored late in periods in the playoffs. And with Bobrovsky and Shesterkin, you and I talked about it last broadcast, how good these two goaltenders are, the Russian matchup. But Sergei Bobrovsky was strong in that game. How many times have we said it, Danny? Making that save when you need that save. Sometimes it's not how many you make, it's when you make them.
And sometimes it happens when you're down in the game. And Shesterkin, with his team down 1-0, made this big save on Alexander Barkov.
Ekblad spins at the hash mark, still with it in their wall, and then taps it back into the corner. Gustafsson battles with Verhaeghe, all to the right of Shesterkin. Centering pass to Tkachuk, backhand Barkov, and a glove save by Shesterkin.
That was a big stop there on Barkov, and he made another one on Will Cooley, too.
Lindgren comes out the other side. Up the wall on his forehand, sends it back out to Roslovic, gets it back out. Here comes the Rangers, and Cooley with a back, with a shot and a pad save by Bobrovsky on the breakaway.
Getting the pad on it, that's all he had to do. 1-0 at that point. But then in the third period, Florida kind of took control. Carter Verhaeghe made it a 2-0 game.
Down into Rangers territory, Shesterkin well out to play this one. Gave it right to Verhaeghe along the far boards. Verhaeghe back up front, tip off a Ranger, and they score! Carter Verhaeghe centered it. It went off a Ranger, and the Panthers have a 2-0 lead with 3:48 to play.
What a strange-looking play that was. Shesterkin came out of his net to play the puck.
And it went right off the stick of Lafreniere.
Yeah, that's a tough break for Lafreniere. And after the game, the guy said, hey, listen, he made the effort. Let's forget about it.
Yeah, I didn't think Shesterkin made the right play on that. Excuse me, Danny. I thought, I can't remember the defenseman, but the defenseman had the puck. He was going to be able to get to the puck before Verhaeghe. Shesterkin comes way out, and the D-man and the goalie didn't communicate very well. You could have released and put the puck behind the net. You could have just stood where you were and got the puck in the middle, because Verhaeghe was to the side already. He had already anticipated where Shesterkin was going with the puck. He gets it. There was a change. Lafreniere jumps on the ice to hustle back, and then he gets a stick on the puck, and it's a beautiful deflection, but it's in the wrong net.
And it was in the wrong net again at the end of the game when noted pugilist and problem solver Sam Bennett, who's a pain in the neck to the other team, is my other way of saying it, poked the puck in.
Behind the net, swept off to the near side by Lafreniere, taken away. Tkachuk now to Bennett, has some room. Bennett to center, long shot on the empty net. He scores! Sam Bennett from the neutral zone. It's 3-0 Panthers with 1:19 to play here in the third.
That'll seal the deal.
It did seal the deal, but there were a couple of things that the Rangers did near the end of the contest that forced Florida to make some plays too as the game ended.
We're getting into the very late stages. Wenberg able to roll to the neutral zone. Stenlund the takeaway, back in he goes for a circle of shot. Left pad save made by Shesterkin. And the puck picked up and brought off to the near boards. Keandre Miller will launch it out of the zone. Heedle is blasted by Nico Mikkola. And that's going to take us to the end of this one. Game one in the books, and the Panthers take it 3-0 here in Madison Square Garden. The Panthers take game one of the Eastern Conference Final.
Drew, I know that at any point in the game, you're supposed to finish your checks, but I wanted to ask you about that Nico Mikkola hit, because Filip Chytil, the guy he got, has had concussion problems all year. You know who the guy is. The game is out of hand at this point. Why?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's like you said, finish your check all the time. Game one, playoff series, it's a take no prisoners type of attitude, but for the Rangers, they'll remember it. Game two, tonight as we're recording this, will be very interesting to see how it starts out. The one thing I think the Rangers could be better at was being physical. They weren't as physical against Florida as they had been in the past couple of rounds. So I'm looking for them to come out with a very big push. They really didn't do a heck of a lot in this game, Danny. You know, it was a low event game for them. They were rather passive in the game. So I'm expecting that to be very different in game two.
Well, a big part of that too, there was like a 14-minute period in the second frame in which the Rangers had no shots on goal whatsoever. And Paul Maurice was in fact talking about that very fact.
Both teams are good defensively. You know, there wasn't a lot of great offense. And if you're looking at eight chances based on the two breakaways they got, they may have had the edge. Because it's a grinder both ways. From the bench level, it doesn't feel that the game was shut down at any point. And there were a couple of stretches, I think, in the Tampa series and in the Boston series that I thought we felt, from the bench, felt like we had the game locked down. that they weren't going to get much in a block of time, right? They're too good of teams for you to think, okay, we're gonna win this game. I didn't feel that last night because of the speed of it. So even if the puck doesn't get to the net, I think you guys, both teams had 19 missed net. That's not just, you know, a missed shot. That's just enough of a lane being taken away from the shooter that you're missing the net. So we had a block of time last night where they didn't get one on goal. That doesn't mean they weren't very dangerous in that block of time. And the style of the series, with the speed going up and down the ice, I don't think they're ever going to get real comfortable that you've got, you know, you're in control, certainly in the middle of part of the ice. I mean, even with offensive zone time that we had, there was a break at the end of it, and boom, they're going on a breakaway. So maybe that's just the coach needs to do more exercises on the bench. But it didn't feel like we had the game shut down in any way.
You got any advice, Drew, for breathing exercises for Paul Maurice on the bench?
No, I think it is just the coach, though, because they had, I think, Florida Panthers, I think they did have the game locked down. I think he's being very generous to how the New York Rangers were stymied.
Little coach speak maybe for game two?
Yes, sir. Trying to just get a little message to his players.
One thing that Maurice was very happy about was near the end of the game, that one hit by Mikkola on Hedl notwithstanding, Florida played hard all the way to the final whistle. And in fact, there were a couple of blocked shots late in the third period that they didn't necessarily have to put their bodies out there. But he says he likes the way that they do that all the way to the very end. And he says that pressure is coming from within the players' side of a bench.
Oh, especially there were a couple, and then Ryan Lombard took a heavy block there that he doesn't need to take. What I like is that they celebrate each other, the good things, and it's not just, you know, the top end scorers. It's certainly the guys who don't get necessarily the ice time that the other players do, but they do. They celebrate it on the bench, the hard things, and the fact that they recognize it is important.
Hey, I remember when the Sharks went to the Stanley Cup final, the same thing used to happen. Guys who get really excited about a fourth liner that's not getting a lot of opportunities to block a shot or to make a defensive play, do something very small that was really important for the win. You got to do that in the playoffs.
You have to, without a doubt. And how many times have we talked about it can't be about the guy behind the bench? It's got to be about the players. And the players have taken over that team. Like, you played Paul Maurice the other day about their training camp, how he was very happy with their training camp this year versus last year, that the players have taken over. And that's the key.
Well, on the Rangers side of things, obviously, they want to get a little bit more balance from their offensive production on the defensive side. They're used to getting Adam Fox and players like that that generate offense, but Florida's done a good job. And recently in round two in the playoffs, the Rangers also had some trouble in that area. And Peter Laviolette addressed that by talking about what to do about it.
I think that there's opportunity to do that. You're right. That's down. I always say the playoffs is, you hope it's a long road and that things work their way out and catch up. But I think contributions from the back end were a big part of our success in the regular season. In the offensive zone, I think, you know, especially the first two series, they were trying to move, trying to get involved. The winning goal where Lindy takes it around the net, like that movement and motion. But definitely finding more pucks to the net, lanes to the net on the backside of a rush, that type of thing. Yeah, I think that can help with production.
Things tighten up in the playoffs, and so it gets a little bit harder for those offensive defensemen to generate, and we've seen that many, many times in Sharks history.
Yeah, you have to make sure that your D are up on the rush. I mean, it's because players track back so well, because you always try to make sure that your D are already back, taking care of the offensive first wave. You need a second wave to come in late. And you saw it last night in the game with the Oilers and the Stars. There's some late guys open. You saw it in this game, but you've got to get up on the play. It's tough for D-men too, but their D are interesting because I really liked how Trouba played. I like how Schneider played. I thought they, after that though, they had some struggles with their defense. I thought they can be better in this.
Yeah, Keandre Miller, I think, is could be better than he's been.
Yeah, I didn't think he handled the puck very well. I thought he looked tentative in that game. Like I said, rather passive in that game, and that's not his game.
And so here's the question. Do the Rangers need to make any tactical adjustments to the way that they're playing, given the fact that they haven't had those opportunities on net? Here's what Peter Laviolette said about that.
I don't think it was that. Like I said, it's a that game's hanging around in the 50-50 market for a long time, and you know they scored the one goal off the rush, and that held all the way through the game. I don't feel like we were under siege. I don't feel like we were real vulnerable at times defensively. And conversely, like I just mentioned, I thought that there was things that we could have done better. And there was adjustments that we made in the Carolina series systematically, because I didn't like what I was seeing. I didn't like how it was coming at us. And so we changed parts of our game, big parts of our game, to try and make up for that. But I didn't feel like it was that last night. I feel like it's on us to play a better game inside of how we go about our business on the ice.
However, on the ice, Peter Laviolette, the coach of the Rangers, made a couple of adjustments to the lines to try to get them going. And he was asked by the media if for game two, there's an option to actually change the personnel a little bit.
It's an option. I mean, we're halfway through the game. We had 9 shots on net. So we didn't do a very good job at that point into generating a lot of quality chances. There were some. The breakaways, I think it happened at that point. But the second period went real quiet with chances. There's a few on each side. And so you know, you're looking at the game, and we're just not generating and penetrating the way we wanted to in the second period. And so, you know, oftentimes this year I've taken a couple players and I've double shifted them. And when you're double shifting to, you know, move players around, the other players are going into different places. And so it was just to try and find some sort of jump or spark. Or oftentimes through the course of the year when we've made that move and we've double shifted somebody, it's produced a goal or it's changed the game or it's changed the momentum of a game. And I do think we pushed a little bit in the third period. I think we gave up a little bit too much as well, but I do think we generated our best chances in the third, short of the 2 breakaways.
Kind of interesting, because his options are a little bit limited if he changes his lineup, but Blake Wheeler is getting better. And there's a guy with experience that if he's healthy could help maybe jolt the Rangers a little bit if he wants to make a change, and he could.
Yeah, he's got a ton of experience, as you mentioned. He's a big guy. He's a very vocal leader, emotional player. They could have used an injection of that, certainly in game one. I love how Peter Laviolette broke it down, though. I believe he's 100% correct that it just wasn't enough. It wasn't like the game was in the balance for a long time, but they just didn't seem to be able to push. 9 shots through 2 periods, just through halfway through the second period, I should say, just wasn't enough pressure. That's where I thought the Florida Panthers did a good job. They killed plays and killed rushes early and were able to get going the other way. Maybe Wheeler can inject some sort of push in the lineup, enthusiasm in the lineup, because he hasn't played. He'd be pretty eager to get out there.
That'd be a real jolt for the Rangers. Meanwhile, at Madison Square Garden, they've got to come up with a big win in game number 2. Again, the road team is doing a great job in the conference final here in game number 1. But Paul Maurice says that oftentimes the teams that lose in the playoffs have their best game in game number 2, and he expects that from the Rangers.
Well, that's what we're talking about today, for sure, right? What was the difference? We won game 1 against Tampa, and then I thought Tampa played its best game the next game. And then we very probably played our best game in game 2. So we will assume then that the loser of game 1 plays their best game in game 2, and we're going to have to be that good tomorrow. Because both teams are still fresh, right? We had, before last night, we played 1 game in about 7 days, right? It's kind of the same with the Rangers. They're fresh. So 1 game doesn't hurt anybody. They're going to be going tomorrow, and they'll be fast. And then we won't necessarily look at it as a game. There's going to be a block of time for all 4 teams left where they own the game. So we had a stretch of time where the Rangers didn't get a shot, but there's also a stretch of time they were on us pretty good. Third shift out in the first period after the penalty kill in the third. Manage those blocks. Just don't try to play 60 minutes in one, and manage the blocks of time where the other team's rolling.
Pretty good advice, don't you think?
Really, really good advice. Manage the blocks of time. You and I on our broadcast talk critical moments all the time, but manage blocks of time is a perfect way to go. You cannot, through the whole game, be able to play on a high where you're just going to dominate the game. You have to manage those key blocks of time. Outstanding stuff.
And the Rangers are a team that really responds well to challenges. They have all year. That's why they won the President's Trophy, and Peter Laviolette's expecting nothing less.
You know, I heard some of the comments from them last night. I think accountability, not from me, although that, you know, I can help, but from them, and realizing that maybe it's not the way we want to play or wasn't as clean as we would like. I mean, it's, you know, you go back and look at the chances, it's kind of an even game. Like, the whole thing's kind of even. It sits around the 50% mark, but I just look at some of the crispness and the execution and the skating and the movements and the coverage. Not a lot, but there's just things that I felt like we could have done better that maybe could have pushed it in our direction. We had a lot of chances to score. I think we hit the post three times, and a lot of point-blank chances. You know, there's a couple on the power play, backdoor nets that were empty. Wenberg had a chance. Laff hit the post in the slot, two breakaways. And so there's opportunities where could have scored that one goal, and it didn't go. And so execution on how we move out of the zone or through the neutral zone, execution on the details of finishing, and just things that maybe you find a goal, you find one goal or two goals, one goal, push it to overtime, two goals, you know, you win it in regulation. So just small things that we can do better.
Just back to business for the Rangers and their head coach, Peter Laviolette. I think, Drew, game two is going to be the best game, and I think that the Rangers will be right there.
100% agree. These are two very good teams. The Rangers are so well coached, such a strong team from top to bottom, and they've got leaders. They know that they're going to have to push. And I think Paul Maurice, as he said, he's ready for that. And I think Peter Laviolette will get his guys there as well. I think it'll be an outstanding game too.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
And so from the East, we go to the West, and game number one between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars was spectacular. In fact, it was an amazing game in which the Edmontonians were in trouble. Then they ended up getting back into the game. And in fact, Leon Draisaitl once again got things going for Edmonton in the second period.
Good spin move on Matt Duchene. Now played it off the back of the net, fell down. Hyman in front had a swing at it. Couldn't get it on that quick shot. Rebound, score! Leon Draisaitl for Brett Kulak. And Edmonton has the first goal of the Western Conference Final.
Very interesting, Jack Michaels on the call, that Leon is definitely getting a larger role in this playoff series. In fact, so much so, I was looking at the cable TV in the TV guide, and it said NHL Stanley Cup Playoffs. And then it said, Leon Draisaitl and the Edmonton Oilers take on the Dallas Stars. They didn't even mention Connor McDavid.
Leon Draisaitl has got a point in every game so far in the playoffs. I think he's got 25 points now in 13 games?
Yep.
Or 12 games. He has been tremendous. He is. He's people, you know, Connor gets all the pub and with good reason. He's the best player in the world. Leon is very, 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 very close behind him as the next best player in the world. Leon's incredible. And playoff time, if you look at Leon's playoff numbers, they're out of this world about how good he is. He's amazing. He's doesn't get enough. Well, he gets credit. Certainly here in Canada, he gets credit. But it's always Connor first, then Leon. But Leon is, he's driving that team offensively right now.
Well, he is, and he's making things happen, whether it's even strength or the power play. But he had to also deal with the fact that Tyler Seguin was deciding that he wanted to be a factor for the Dallas Stars. Let's see what he did.
As the Stars set it down the left-hand side. Oh, a turnover by Kulak. Waiting. Backhander in front. Jabbing. Scoring. Seguin from Jamie Benn. And Kulak's giveaway translates to a Dallas goal. The Stars are on the board.
And they were on the board, but Seguin would also do it in the third period.
He hasn't scored a goal since 2018. Rister in front. Deflected right to Seguin. And he ties the game. Seguin got a ricochet right to him and scores his second of the night. It's the equalizer with 3:23 to play in this third period.
Wow, what a wacky third period. Some great saves by Stuart Skinner. And then we got to overtime. And how about the way the overtime began, Drew, with Connor McDavid getting a double minor penalty?
High sticks Matt Duchene off the faceoff, trying to win a loose puck. Then he complains vociferously. Would there be any other player in the league who could get away complaining to Kelly Sutherland like that?
No,
none whatsoever.
Zero. Not even Sidney Crosby.
No, but The Edmonton Oilers are the number one power play team in the playoffs and the number one penalty kill in the playoffs. And boy, did it come up big.
They've killed 19 straight penalties, including five in this game. And Connor McDavid said that when he went to the penalty box at the start of the second overtime, he had one thought in mind.
Long, really long, really, really long. Miserable. I hated every second of it. But, you know, the guys did an amazing job, you know, truthfully. The penalty kill has just been amazing. And to step in there, 4 minutes against a good power play, you know, can't give those guys enough credit.
Well, that's where Mattias Ekholm comes in. The veteran defenseman talked about the PK and how they've killed 19 straight.
Throughout the playoffs, we've had a good rhythm on it. I feel like it's one of those things where you build momentum, you build confidence on the unit. It's almost like we have some D pairings and some forward pairings now that have done it and done it with success and has confidence on it. With that said, they had one in the post, so I mean it's not always going to work out the way you want, but I thought the kill did a heck of a job tonight and obviously killed off five penalties, I think it was.
But Stuart Skinner was also a big factor in the game, and Chris Knobloch, the head coach of the team, talked about his performance.
I thought Stu was solid. I thought he made some key saves throughout the night. He looked confident. I thought his puck play was really good. And then a couple of saves he made. You know, the one in overtime on the penalty kill with the blocker kind of reminded me of the one he made in penalty kill 5-on-3 against Vancouver. Just out of nowhere, throws that blocker out. The game tying goal late in the third period, you know, off our skate to the back door. He's got no opportunity on that. But, yeah, I think he gets very high grades for his game tonight.
I'd say that if you took all four goalies that are the starters in the playoffs, you'd probably rate Skinner the lowest of the four. Yet all you have to do is be good enough, and he was.
Yeah. You look at the goals that were scored, again, like we talked about earlier, they were all right, excuse me, around the net. Wasn't much Stuart Skinner could do on the goals that were scored against him. Very interesting move by Chris Knobloch in the Vancouver series to put Pickard in for two games. Worked out. They went to work on him, got some basics back. Excuse me. I got to think of the Martin Jones revival against in the playoffs. I think it was in the Western Conference Finals when he was playing for the Sharks, how he kind of reset himself when he was struggling. And it's working right now for the Edmonton Oilers. Stuart Skinner was very, very good last night.
And, of course, McDavid had a nice little breather with the 4 minutes in the penalty box. And as it turned out, he got the key play.
Jim Hopkins with the trailer. Connor McDavid, who was robbed by Ottinger in the first OT. Up the board. Bouchard in front. Deflected home. And Edmonton wins the game. 3-2. It's Connor McDavid in double.
So McDavid gets the winner, and he talked about the fact that this team has to learn how to win these close games and win them in strong fashion.
You got to win tight games. You know, we're down to the final four teams, and you don't get to the final four without being a great team. So all four teams are solid. You know, Dallas is a great team, and it's going to be tight hockey. And we're comfortable in these games. We're comfortable in this environment, and I thought we did a great job. Truthfully, all game. I thought we played really well all game and generated chances, defended well. I thought we did a lot of good things.
Nothing new for Coach Pete DeBoer, however, in terms of learning about the Oilers' attack.
Not really. You know, I think, you know, when I look at the game, we did some of the things that we set out to do. I thought we stayed out of the box for the most part, you know, drew some penalties. Obviously, you know, you've got to score on that double minor. That's probably the game right there in overtime. I thought there was some back and forth. I thought, you know, both teams had good looks. Both goalies played well. They were better, and you have to give them credit for this, than you probably expected coming off of Game 7 and traveling. I thought they played a really good road game. They were engaged, and we probably didn't take advantage of that situation like we should have.
So, Drew, as we finish up the show here, what about the thought of these road teams getting the victory in game one, and now the response time is here?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. And we know what playoffs are like, right? It's attack, respond, attack, respond. What's the response going to be from the both teams? I think it's going to be an outstanding response. Looking forward to both games too. Tight hockey, that's what we expect in the conference finals.
Great hockey and a great show today.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.